Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Lucio Guerrero, who is the Vice President of Communications for Feeding America, the nation's leading hunger relief organization and the country's fourth largest charity. As the nation's leading domestic hunger relief charity, Feeding America helps supply food to more than 37 million people each year, including 14 million children and 3 million seniors, through a network of 203 member food banks that are supported by 61,000 local community agencies across the country. Welcome to Background Briefing, Lucio Guerrero.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And on this Thanksgiving, it is something of an obscenity, I think, that as people sit down for their Thanksgiving meals and celebrate their families with all of the wonderful turkey and trimmings and dishes, and people, relatives are always bringing dishes in. And so, as you know, and as our listeners know, it's a wonderful feast. But sure. 50 million Americans go hungry every day in this country, and more than one in five of them are children. So what's going to happen to those people today? What's happening with those people today?
You know, they continue to struggle. So while for the vast majority of us and your listeners, they think that, you know, hunger doesn't exist around them, they're mistaken. Like you said, there's 50 million Americans who struggle with hunger, and that's, you know, that's everywhere. That's urban, that's rural, that's suburban, that's everywhere. There's no one part of the country that's immune to hunger. And so, well, you know, we sit down for our Thanksgiving dinners, there's going to be those people out there in the land of plenty that don't have enough to eat or just can't make ends meet even when they're working.
And most of the people on food stamps are working.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's a misconception. A lot of people think that these are folks who are either homeless or don't have jobs. And no, most people on food stamps are working, or they have a senior in the home, or they have somebody who's disabled in the home who from situation outside of one they can control are in a situation where they can't make ends meet. And so what people don't realize is that a lot of these folks are not looking to become dependent on food stamps like some people accuse them of being. It's they're trying to make ends meet in a time, in a difficult time in their lives, and hopefully get back on their feet and then be able to get off the program. But, you know, with the situation the way it is out there, with the economy having, you know, a bit of a breakthrough for some folks, it hasn't trickled down to the most needy in our country, and those are the folks who are still struggling today. And, you know, Ian, as you probably know, are coming off of a cut to SNAP benefits for 47 million people, where they'll have even less to deal with this holiday season.
Well, I was about to bring that up, Lucio. You know, in the face of all of this, what is the Congress doing? They're cutting food stamps. And even the Democratic bill in the Senate calls for a cut as well. And by the way, the cuts that went in a few weeks ago, they're worse ones to come, are they not?
Yeah, so the ones that Congress has already done, that when the stimulus benefits expired in November 1st, those were cuts that 47 million people, everybody on food stamps across the board, doesn't matter if you're a senior, disabled, able-bodied, your food stamps were cut. And as we know, for most people, their food stamp benefits don't last a whole month to begin with. So now you're talking about, for a family of four, it could be about $36 a month, which, you know, for some families, it could be a whole week's worth of groceries where they won't have enough food to eat. Thankfully, there are organizations like ours, Feeding America, like our food banks, like our partner agencies, where we can help fill that void by supplying food to people when they need it. And as you know and you've seen, you know, our food banks can't do it alone. We can't do it alone. And so it really takes a communal effort to try to make sure that our neighbors are fed.
So why do you think Fox News, for example, has been pushing this story for months now that some surfer out in California was buying crab, and, you know, as though all of these people, these 47 million people who've just taken a hit, are a bunch of freeloaders?
Yeah, no, I think it's lobster is what we've been hearing. The reports is the surfer that buys lobster and crab. And if you look at the comment boards, you always see people saying, "I was standing behind a guy who was buying lobster with food stamps." And, you know, I've been on this, you know, I've been buying groceries on my own for, you know, 30, 40 years now, and I've never seen anybody buy lobster, period, with food stamps or without. But yet you see some of these comment boards and you think that's all people are doing is buying lobster at grocery stores. And, you know, it's unfortunate. It's a misconception. And what we try to do is really educate folks. We have a lot of client stories on our website that show the real face of SNAP, and it's people that you wouldn't expect. It's neighbors, it's coworkers, it's church members, it's colleagues, it could be family members. They're, again, like I said, they cross all demographics, all parts of our society, from urban to suburban, and you'd be surprised who's dealing with hunger. I mean, it's not something that people like to really publicize if they have to, you know, get SNAP benefits. For a lot of people, it's embarrassing, but they need that help. And so to make it worse, to victimize them even more, it's really something that's atrocious.
Again, I'm speaking with Lucia Guerrero, the Vice President of Communications for Feeding America, the nation's leading hunger relief organization and the country's fourth largest charity. As the nation's leading domestic hunger relief charity, Feeding America helps supply food to more than 37 million people each year, including 14 million children and 3 million seniors, through a network of 203 member food banks that are supported by 61,000 local community agencies across the country. So you have this sort of gratuitous cruelty out there, the Fox News propaganda that food stamps are going to a bunch of freeloading surface buying lobster. You have the Republican congressman from Tennessee whose family farm receives enormous crop subsidies, millions of dollars, yet he goes to the floor of the House and quotes the Bible saying, "He who does not work should not be fed." Where does this myth come in to associate the needs, the real needs of our fellow citizens who are working but simply aren't being paid enough? I mean, that's what it comes down to. I mean, there are some protests being organized today on Thanksgiving and tomorrow, the so-called Black Friday, against Walmart for not paying its own workers enough, and its own workers are having to go to the food banks that have set up four charities, but end up having to feed their own workers. At least those in Ohio recently all apparently needed their own food bank, let alone one for charity.
Well, you know, we definitely see a lot of community support to make sure that people have enough to eat, and sometimes, like you said, we see poverty as a problem when it comes to food insecurity, and a lot of that poverty comes from not having a living wage and not being able to make ends meet, even when you do work really hard like they tell you to do and try to live the American dream, a lot of times that still isn't enough. Now, I'll be honest and tell you that Feeding America does work with a lot of corporate partners. We depend on our corporate partners to make sure that they help us get food to the community. So we try to, you know, educate folks, advocate on behalf of the hungry, and work with partners across the board, from corporations to individuals to the government, to make sure that people are fed. And that's our number one priority. I mean, we try to really make that our mission, is to make sure people are fed when they need food.
So, Lucia Guerrero, give me a sense then, since you work with food banks across the country, give me a sense of who these people are. Who's going to be coming to the food banks? Are they going to be open on Thanksgiving Day?
A lot of them are having the distribution Thanksgiving Day. Some of them do it, they've had theirs the days before Thanksgiving. Will they be distributing throughout the week? And then on Thanksgiving, they'll have some distributions, and then Friday starts all over. And look, Ian, the problem is this goes on year-round. So our food banks are distributing food all year. What happens is people start to become aware of the need during the holidays, Christmas time. People think, oh, I should help out my fellow man. Unfortunately, we find that awareness drops off come January, February, once the good deeds have worn off and everybody goes back to their business. But guess what? The hungry are still out there, and Feeding America is still out there feeding folks. So we hope that people realize this is a year-round commitment. This is a year-round issue. It's not something that we can just shine a light on during the holidays and then hope it goes away.
But have you noticed an uptick in people showing up at food banks since the recent cuts to food stamps?
Yeah, we've definitely seen, especially with our senior population. I mean, these are folks who have a fixed income. They don't have another way to make up for any loss that they may get with any reductions in food stamps. And so we haven't seen an uptick on that. This is the first month. We're starting to quantify that now with dollars. But I think we're going to see some real impact. And like we talked about, I mean, this is the first of potentially another cut that's coming up as Congress debates the Farm Bill, whereas you have the House that wants to cut another $30 billion out of the Farm Bill. And that's, you know, that's, again, food to people's tables that are we're talking about. It's meals. It's not just a line item somewhere on someone's budget. These are real meals for people. These are, you know, staples that they're not going to be getting.
So what are these real meals that you get from food banks? I mean, I don't imagine you're going to have what most people are eating today on Thanksgiving. You're not going to have turkey and trimmings and all of the side dishes. What kind of meals? I mean, I guess because you're food banks, you can't have too much fresh food, right? You have to have tinned stuff and dried stuff.
Believe it or not, we've changed a lot. I like to say this isn't, you know, your grandfather's food bank anymore. This has really changed, and we've become much better at getting nutritious food out to folks. We've gotten better at that whole supply chain. So, like you said, it's a food bank, so you have to know you can't hold fresh fruits and vegetables very long, so you have to distribute them. A lot of our food banks do something called a mobile pantry, where they go out into the community with almost like a food van and are able to distribute food as soon as they get it. I mean, the goal is to have it sit very short time at a food bank. But during the holidays, you know, we try to make up with some kind of protein. If it's not turkey, we try to get folks, you know, canned hams or some other kind of protein. You know, we hear stories. I mean, you know how turkey legs are so popular at Renaissance fairs and things like that, the big turkey leg. Well, what happens with the rest of the turkey? That comes to us. So a lot of times we give out turkeys without legs, for example, to folks just to get them some protein, get them something they could put on the table for their family.
And recently I spoke with some people who do volunteer work in food banks here in Los Angeles, and they said that they get stuff from, as you mentioned, corporations. They also get stuff from restaurants, leftover. Okay. They get stuff from caterers that are leftover. But one of the problems they have is that local communities or local residents don't like the idea of food banks in their neighborhood. It's that NIMBY factor. Have you run into that?
Yeah, sure. I think you always see that where folks maybe don't want the line of, you know, people who they don't want in their neighborhood perhaps lining up outside near their homes. But, you know, we find, again, because that face of hunger is changing, you'd be surprised at who's in that line now. It's not the people that you would expect to see in a food bank line. It's not the guy disheveled with torn clothes. It's family members who pull up in the station wagon and just, you know, are looking for some help to get some food on the table. So we do come across that. We have, you know, 61,000 agencies, and that means those are the soup kitchens, those are the pantries in church basements, in, you know, shelters throughout our communities. And so we try to do that in a dignified way so that our folks, our clients that do come see us, we still maintain their dignity and respect, because, you know, it's already hard enough to come into a food bank for a lot of folks, and we want to make sure that it's not a bad experience for them. And, you know, while they're there, and we also try to educate them on federal programs that may be available to them and other ways to help them in their situation.
So I take it there are, from what I understood from the people that I spoke with recently at a Hunger Action Los Angeles event, they were telling me that they're having trouble with some of the neighbors and having to move around a lot. And that's difficult because your clients don't know where you're going to show up, you know. But how receptive are these corporations? You say you deal with a lot of corporations. These organizations that I spoke with recently, they go to restaurants to get the food that was left over every evening, I guess, and to caterers. Sometimes there's a lot of food left over from big events. Give us a sense of where the resources come from, and when you say you work with corporations, what kind of food do you get from them, and what's the rationale for them having this surplus?
Yeah. So it's across the board for us. We're fortunate enough to be working with a lot of different industries. So that can be everything from, like we mentioned, the Walmart of the world and other grocers who are able to give us supplies right off their shelves, either things that are near expiration date or maybe, you know, may not look as presentable to most customers but are perfectly fine food. We deal with them. We deal a lot with the manufacturers themselves, ConAgra, General Mills, folks like that, where we can get it directly from them. And then we also deal, like you said, with restaurants and caterers who sometimes have big events that they have food left over. And it's amazing how much food is wasted in this country, how much food goes to landfills that is still perfectly good food, either because, you know, a peach isn't the right size according to the USDA specifications, or isn't, you know, as round as it needs to be, but it's still a perfectly fine peach. A lot of times those peaches either go to a landfill or get chopped up for livestock feed, where we're able to rescue that food and bring it back to the food banks and then distribute it down to the community. So it goes across the board the way we get food, and you know, it helps our corporations and our manufacturers not have so much waste, because we're able to take that and distribute that food, that good food, to communities. And then it helps us because we're able to get that food out there.
So I so often in restaurants you see people leaving enormous amounts of food on their plates, you know, those that don't want to take it home in a doggy bag, because there's nothing you can do about that. I guess there are health concerns, clearly.
Right. No, it's when they make big things for, like you said, like catering for a wedding or something like that, or for a large corporate event. That's the food that we'll rescue. We'll get the call. And again, we're trying to be as nimble as possible. We have to know we have to get that food and distribute as quick as possible, because especially that food that may come from a caterer doesn't have a long shelf life. So we know we have to move that as quickly as possible. And, you know, we've become experts at that. And again, these partner agencies, a lot of time our agencies will go directly and get the food and bring it back to their church pantries, their shelters, and things like that, because they know they can distribute it quicker that way.
So given that your organization, Feeding America, feeds 37 million people each year, including 14 million children and 3 million seniors, through 203 member food banks supported by 61,000 local community agencies, who supports you? I mean, how, you know, you've got, that's an enormous amount of work there that you and these, yeah, your other fellow agencies are doing. Who supports you?
So we don't get any government funding, but we do get, obviously, donors donate to us. Our corporate donors help support us as well to get the mission out. And then locally, all of our food banks are independent 501c3s, so their own independent charity. In L.A., for example, it's the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank is our member food bank in Los Angeles. And they're mostly supported, again, by donors and by the community, because, you know, people know that it's important that to make sure that everybody has something to eat and to have enough to eat, especially their neighbors. And so we find that support at a local level is strong. We find that people want to make sure that people in their communities have enough to eat. So our local food banks really do a nice job of garnering that local support, whereas on the national level, we're able to get that national support and support us as a national organization and also help our local food banks do the work they need to do.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us, Lucio Guerrero, on this Thanksgiving Day.
All right. Thank you, Ian, and happy Thanksgiving.
And happy Thanksgiving to you. Again, I've been speaking with Lucio Guerrero, the Vice President of Communications for Feeding America, the nation's leading hunger relief organization and the country's fourth largest charity. As the nation's leading domestic hunger relief charity, Feeding America helps supply food to more than 37 million people each year, including 14 million children and 3 million seniors, through a network of 203 member food banks that are supported by 61,000 local community agencies across the country. We're going to take a brief station break. We're back talking about how the corn that the Native Americans gave to the Pilgrims on that first Thanksgiving is distorting American agriculture.